This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome to another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast, brought to you in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. You can find them online at www.nysta.org. In today's episode, we'll discuss crabgrass emergence and the spring weather conditions that have fostered root diseases. Enjoy! All right, welcome everyone to another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. It's May 25th, back again with Dr. Rossi and Frank. As always, let's start with the weather. It seemed a little warmer finally last week.
Yeah, we did get a bit of a warm-up. I think everybody's really noticing what the warm-up did to their turf. But I think the bigger story, and I think we heard it from Art today, and not only in his current projections, but looks like in the foreseeable future, we're going to have adequate moisture. He's predicting almost 2 inches of rainfall region-wide. Now, he did say it was going to be wetter to the west and drier to the coast, but he didn't balk away from the fact that we're in a pretty wet pattern moving forward, which, you know, I guess if you base it on what you thought about last year, where we relied heavily on our irrigation systems, I would have to say now we're relying heavily on our drainage systems, right? So I think that led to the next discussion about infrastructure problems that many places have with drainage. And Buckley talked to us a little bit about the disease issues there. So why don't you give me a tee up there on what we're talking about relative to the things Rich talked to us about.
Well, yeah, I mean, we get these wet soils from Art was saying this is probably a top five May in terms of moisture that we've gotten. We're going to have those wet soils. That's going to be a recipe for disaster for diseases, right?
Right, especially root diseases, right? There's a couple of things that these wet patterns create. Number one is, first and foremost, when the soils are always wet up at the surface, those grasses aren't necessarily motivated. There's no motivation to put down deeper roots. They're perfectly happy to stay where they are. And then when the warm summers come, inherently they're under more stress because the surface of the soil, inherently we want to dry the surface of the soil for playing surfaces and performance, right? So that's the first problem. The second problem is wet soils are conducive to a variety of soil pathogens. I mean, obviously summer patch infects more intensely under warmer wet soils. Take all patch and bent grass will infect under warmer wet soils. You won't see those problems at this point. You won't see them until the stress comes later. Now, Rich is talking about Pythium root rot problems in the soil. And I thought one of the things that was most telling when I pushed him on this was, first of all, you got to get the drainage right. And as we just said, if you don't have good drainage, if you have not paid attention to good cultural practices, sand top dressing to create that sandy surface, if you haven't been paying attention to that, you got a lot of problems. Pythium's everywhere. He seems to really favor mixing up his pesticide chemistry for Pythium control. There are about 30 or so he would cite in a paper from the 80s, 30 or so Pythium organisms. He said glibly, you know, most people aren't going to wait around for me to diagnose them to species. So chemical recommendations should always include a variety of modes of action. And he rattled off products like Banol and Segway and Stellar and even phosphites into their program. So the use of those various modes of action are going to be very important to avoid problems. But that's only if you've got a compromised situation. I certainly wouldn't go out and recommend everybody and their brother start to apply products for Pythium root rot, because if you've got a well-drained root zone, you should be okay. If you have a history of Pythium root rot, it might be worthwhile to begin using that mixing strategy, which then sort of led us, when we're talking about fungicides, the next pest that comes to mind are the weed problems that we're setting up for coming into the season. And we had a conversation with Randy about maybe crabgrass emerging in some places. And what did you get from that, Carl?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. We were talking about the differences in how you're going to control crabgrass based on if it's one tiller or if it's gotten to the point where it's more than one tiller. Maybe you could expand.
That's very astute observation. It is something we talk about all the time, that crabgrass, like many weeds, the growth stage matters relative to the effectiveness of the control and the product you're going to use to get that control. So really little crabgrass, if you haven't put a pre-emergent like Dimension down already, really early crabgrass can be controlled before the one tiller stage with liquid applications of Dimension or dithiopyr. If you've put a Dimension a full rate down, I would not, Randy did not recommend making that application to early season breakthroughs, because now you've got a 2x rate of pre-emergence. And if you lose turf and you want to do some reestablishment later in the season, it could compromise the late season, you know, the late season overseeding we might do. So then we talk about in New York primarily having a claim, a very expensive product for post-emergent control into the 1 to 4 tiller stage. And then we're stuck with not as many options in New York because we don't have the quinclorac that a lot of other states have, the drive that a lot of other states have. We have to get quinclorac in other mixture products, and so you'll want to pay attention to that. So the moral of the story from my perspective as we wrap up this episode of the Early Bird Podcast, Carl, and I pass it back to you, is simply look around for your breakthroughs. Think about spot treatments of products while the plants are low, because if you wait till they get big, your options get significantly limited.
Right, and we are certainly in the throes now of the growing season, and we'll continue to keep our thumb on all these disease and weed control issues. Thanks everyone again for joining us for another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Again, we really appreciate if you guys comment on iTunes or Google Play. Give us some feedback on this podcast. We'd love
to. Just to know that anybody's listening out there.
That's right. Hopefully we're not yelling into the abyss. So thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.